Thank you very much to Marcia and to Phil for those two readings. And can I also congratulate Richard and Carolyn, who are grandparents again this week, with the birth of Evangeline Alicia. Evangeline Alicia. Today for Launch Sunday, we are considering God's vision and mission for our church from those two passages that we just heard read. So let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, please teach us now what your vision and mission is for us as your church. Please give us a collective desire, a zeal to do what you want us to do, to be what you want us to be, to achieve what you want us to achieve. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So why a Launch Sunday? Well, holidays are well and truly over, even for teachers and school students. You might be thinking that holidays were well and truly over weeks ago, but now we're all back, except for the uni students amongst us. They've probably still got another month of holidays ahead of them. Anyway, most of us are back and the routine of life is about to begin. Hopefully you've had a great summer break and are feeling refreshed and ready to go in 2023. And of course, in church life, much of what we do is built around the school term. So we are about to launch into a new year of ministry with children and youth and adult Bible study groups and other things. So as we do that, it's helpful to step back and think, what are we on about as a church? What does God want for us and from us? What is his vision for us? What is the mission that he wants us involved in this year and every year? You might remember that last year we did the National Church Life Survey. It was a little different last year because we filled it out online rather than all together with paper and pencil here on a Sunday. So only a proportion of us got around to it, which has probably skewed the data a little. But anyway, overall, the feedback from the NCLS was very encouraging. Here is a snapshot of the feedback, firstly. So I'm just getting a little delay with my clicking here. See how we go with the PowerPoints. This first slide, which has some pretty small font in it, I can run you through it, is what we most value about our church. The top four things that we value as a church are sermons, preaching or teaching. Clear winner there, 74%. So that's a big number there. Small groups, prayer, discussion and Bible is next. And then not far behind is practical care in times of need. And fourthly there, ministry to children or youth. No big surprises, but encouraging. These are the things we value and prioritise. In terms of future priorities, the top four things that came up were spiritual growth, obviously all close together here, these four. Spiritual growth, I take that to be growth together, growth as individuals, growth together as a church. Spiritually speaking, encouragement to share faith and invite, ensuring new people are included, and ministry to children and youth. Again, four good things, encouraging things for us to have as future priorities. Closely behind these four things was clear vision for the church at 27%. Clear vision for the church. So clarifying our vision around what we value and what we prioritise presently and what we want to prioritise for the future is something that I and the wardens and the parish council and our ministry leaders have been thinking about in recent times. Not just in response to the NCLS, but also in the context of where we're up to as a church. God has blessed us with growth over the last 5 years, numerical growth and growth in maturity. Praise be to him. He gives the growth. That has meant pressure on the capacity of our church building and therefore some changes, as you know. The wardens and parish council, and in particular our church property subcommittee, are thinking ahead. What happens if we reach 150 bodies in this building? Also, what facilities will we need across the way if that were to be the case? In all of our thinking and our dreaming and our discussing and planning, we need to keep coming back to this question. What is God's vision for us? God's vision for his church is spelt out in Ephesians 4 and in particular verses 12 and 13, which say the purpose, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God's vision for us is that we are built as new people are added, and built in maturity as we grow together. Jesus says the same thing in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We are disciples who make disciples. We seek to make new ones, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and grow mature ones, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus taught. Making and growing disciples, God's vision for us. Maturity, returning to Ephesians 4, is defined as reaching unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Such maturity is important because, as verse 14 goes on to say, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. In other words, we'll stay on course with Jesus and not try to build his church with anything other than his gospel. And in a mature church, it's not just the minister or the ministry team or the ministry leaders who are active in building. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This, under God, is a great strength of St. Paul's Terry Hills. Each part doing its work. As I came through the gate this morning, I noticed that some trees, dead trees, dangerous trees, had been lopped. I assume it was Nick Overton because he was talking to me about it last Sunday. So a big thank you to Nick Overton, who has the know-how to get up here during the week, take some dead trees down and branches. Thank you, Nick. Just about every time I'm up here at the church building, I see Mark. Because Mark is always working away on something up at the church building. Each part does its work. Thank you, Mark. During the week, I put an SOS out to Ben Cutmore, who got his big van on the road for me to pick up a pool table for a youth room in number 5 here. Have a look later on. So thank you to Ben, who has the van. And during the week, the willingness to get down to Riverview, get up in a driveway like this in his big van and get the pool table for us. And then the table tennis table as well from our place. Kate King's been up here all week and is often every week doing lots of jobs around the place, moving furniture. She's moved a lot of furniture this week. Thank you, Kate. Each part does its work. We also seek to speak the truth in love to one another, encourage one another. In our conversations on Sundays, during the week, in our Bible study groups and other informal catch-ups. We seek to spur each other on, supporting each other in hard times, gently correcting each other when needed. So this is God's vision for us, building maturity, each part doing its work, speaking the truth in love. And add to this the beautiful description in verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is what God wants for us. He wants our knowledge of the Son to transform our character so that we are like him together. Together we think like him, we speak like him, we act like him, we relate like him. This is God's vision for us. How do we achieve it? Another way of asking this is, what is God's mission for us? Well, Ephesians 4 teaches us that the risen and ascended Lord Jesus gives gifts to his church, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. What do you notice about these gifts that Christ gives his church? That is a rhetorical question. You don't need to call out any answers today. What do you notice? Let me tell you what I notice. One, the gifts are people. In other gift lists in the New Testament, the ministry is the gift. Here, the minister is the gift. Two, each of these gifts are word-related. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers are all word-based gifts. They all minister with the word. Obviously, apostles and prophets are foundational. Evangelists and pastors and teachers proclaim and teach the gospel of the apostles and prophets, who are also the authors of New Testament scripture. As a pastor, I teach the scriptures, new and old. A pastor pastors by teaching the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because ultimately God is our shepherd, Jesus is our good shepherd, and we follow his voice. His word is taught by pastors. That is the heart of pastoral ministry. I emphasise this because... Where am I up to? There. I emphasise this because sometimes we separate pastoring from teaching. We say things like, this minister over here is a great teacher but not a very good pastor. Or that minister is very pastoral. What we often mean by that is that they're good with people, able to relate, listen well, speak helpfully into life circumstances. Now, don't get me wrong. This is absolutely a part of pastoral ministry because our teaching of the word is not to be just from the pulpit front. We are to pastor teach in small groups, in the home, to families and to individuals. And that's why I rely on other pastors in the congregation. Our Bible study leaders pastor their groups, primarily by teaching, relating, discipling, encouraging, caring, following up, praying. Ditto our youth and children's leaders. They shepherd their little flocks. It's quite the responsibility. And I should also say that's why it's important to be in a Bible study group. Much of our pastoral care in this church takes place through those groups. Of course, we want to care for everyone and encourage growth in everyone, whether you're in a Bible study group or not, but Bible study groups are key in that. Okay, back to Ephesians 4. What is the task of evangelists and pastors and pastors who are teachers in the local church? There it is in verse 12. Let me read it from 11. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do all the ministry in the church. No, to equip his people for works of service. Gifted evangelists do lots of evangelism for sure. But more than that, they equip and train us to be active in evangelism in our own life. They multiply the number of evangelists so that under God we can build his church numerically. Likewise, pastors do lots of teaching, but more than that, they are to equip others to be pastor teachers. We want to multiply the number of Bible study leaders and children's and youth leaders so that under God we can build his church in maturity. Does that mean we run 1,000 courses? No, it does not. But often when we are thinking of equipping and training, we think of courses. But ultimately, it's the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that equips and trains us. Yes, the example and model of the gifted evangelist or pastor teacher is important. We can learn from others. But Christ himself equips us through the word they proclaim or preach. And Christ's word certainly equips us for a multiplicity of works of service. We don't all be gifted evangelists or pastor teachers. We should expect some to be, but not all. But all are active in works of service. The gospel compels us to serve with a variety of gifts that God has given, all with the aim, the goal, the vision of building in numbers and maturity. In fact, each one of us equipped by the word of God, the gospel, verse 15, speaking the truth in love so that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So, as I close, let me sum up in this way. Church vision and mission setting can be quite a process. In my experience, it can be complicated, sadly even divisive, which is a bit of an irony, isn't it? Because we're trying to be unified in a purpose and then we divide over different views. It can take months, a lot of time for a lot of people. But look, God's vision for us is pretty uncomplicated. It's that we make and grow disciples of Jesus Christ, building his church in numbers and maturity. That's what we want to see happening here. We want the place to be filled. We want to see people moving from death to life, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we want to see us growing in Christ-like maturity together. Ephesians 4 tells us how God intends for this to happen, equipping. God wants to equip us to evangelize and to establish, primarily through the ministry of his word And we could add prayer, of course, the ministry of word and prayer, for it's God who brings the growth. So we might think about it as three E's: evangelism, being establish, and equip. Here are three key things we want to do as a church in 2023. All of our ministries, everything we do, all of our works of service will fall into those three E's. We might add one more E before evangelism. It's not there in Ephesians 4, but it might help us as we think about evangelism. Sometimes we need to engage with people before we share the gospel with them. We need to connect or reconnect, form a relationship, friendship of genuine care and love before an opportunity to speak about Jesus comes up, or an appropriate moment to invite someone to something at church related. That's part of the reason why I have joined the Terry Hills Tennis Club. Don't get me wrong, I love a game of tennis, and the exercise is good for me. But so is engaging with people in the local community and forming friendships. It's an enjoyable thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. We want to encourage engagement with friends and neighbours in our community who aren't yet Christian. So those four E's: engage, evangelise, establish, equip. Here is our God-given mission to achieve his vision, flowing right out of Matthew 28 and Ephesians chapter 4. Let's pray. Risen Lord, Lord of the harvest, this is your church. We are your saved people only by your grace and mercy and love. Please teach us the depths of your grace that we might be equipped with your word and love, compelled to take your gospel to the lost, moved to encourage and build one another. Please build your church in this place. Increase the number of those who are being saved through us. Establish us, equip us, grow us in maturity so that we might be like Christ in every way. We pray this so that you and your Son may be honoured and glorified in this place. For you, not us, are worthy of all praise. Amen. I'm going to respond.